John chapter 21, go down to verse 15 with me. Most of you probably know that this is written after the resurrection of our Lord. He has risen again from the dead. And he's having a very personal conversation here with Peter. Peter who had let him down. Peter who had betrayed him. Peter who had denied that he knew Christ. And now here they are having a conversation at breakfast on the beach. Let's read this together. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the disciples that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is a disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Now, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Amen. And that's how John concludes his good news story about the Lord Jesus. I want you to step with me into Peter's shoes as he stood on the beach that day with the Lord Jesus Christ in front of him. Remember that Peter had denied his Lord and Master three times, just a very short time before. Now they're having breakfast together on the beach. And no doubt he was nervous and apprehensive and concerned as to what his Lord and Master would say to him. He had messed things up. He had let him down so badly. And surely Christ would have a word of rebuke or a word of condemnation for him. And you can almost feel and sense Peter's heart beating fast there, wondering what this conversation held for him. But Peter need not have worried, because the Lord Jesus gave him a second chance. And I want to speak to you tonight about second chance religion. I want to speak to those of you who have messed things up, who have a deep desire to turn the clock back. On a computer, you've got a delete button. When you mess something up, you press a delete button. It goes, disappears to wherever it goes in the great cyberspace, and you can start all over again. So many people wish that there was a delete button on something in their lives so they could start all over again. Had you given Peter that option that morning, I'm quite sure that he would have wanted to push the delete button to delete from historical record his denial, as predicted by the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ gave him a second chance. Maybe you are a Christian tonight, but you have messed things up. Maybe you have messed up your relationships. Maybe you've messed up your finances. Maybe you have let God down in some serious aspect of your life. Maybe if the brothers and sisters of Lisburn Baptist Church knew about that tonight, you would be deeply, deeply ashamed. But God is a God of second chances. And from this night forward, you can begin to live a life that makes an impact on your workplace, on your family, on your friends, a life that is effective. Because from this moment on, in John's Gospel, chapter 21, Peter began to live the life of a disciple of Christ. And from this moment on, began to make an impact and have an effect on others. And that can be your experience too. Thank God that he's a God of second chances, because I need a second chance. We all need second, third, fourth chances. We all come to times in our lives when we fail, when we let God down. But thank God, especially when we let him down in the big things, he's a God who can put us right and send us in the right direction. Three simple truths in this passage tonight for you to get a grasp of and to take with you into the rest of your week and hopefully into the rest of your life. First of all, if you have messed things up, face your failure. Face your failure. Notice here in verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Christ is face to face with Peter. Peter is face to face with Christ, facing the one that he let down so badly. Now Peter has to face up to his failure. Second chance begins with being honest. Second chance begins with being real. Second chance begins with facing up to your failure, admitting where you've gone wrong. Notice how Christ brings him here as he faces up to his failure, to the point of departing. There's so many similarities between that beach scene and that scene in Pilate's courtyard where Peter denied the Lord. There was a coal fire in Pilate's courtyard. There's a fire here on the beach. Three times in Pilate's courtyard, Peter was asked if he knew Christ. Three times he denied him. Here on the beach, Christ three times asks Peter a question. And no doubt with that fire burning there on the beach and with these questions of the Lord Jesus coming to him, Peter's mind would have been going back to that point of departing, that point when he denied Christ. Now, second chance religion means that you may have to go back to the point where you left him. You may have to go back to the point where you failed. Sometimes you can't do that. You cannot exactly rewind things and start all over again. But in your mind, you've got to go back there and say, Lord, that was the point where it started to go wrong. Lord, that was the place where I let you down. Notice also that Christ brings him not just to the point of departing, but to the point of discipling. Do you love me, Peter? Actually, the Lord says, first of all, do you truly love me more than these? Do you truly love me? Do you love me? Three times Christ asks Peter that question about love. Actually, the fascinating thing is that Peter's response is, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I know in our English translations, the word love there is the same, both in the question and in the answer. The reality is that the word for love that the Lord used was a different word for love that Peter used in his response. So whilst the Lord was using the strongest possible word for love, Peter was using a lesser word for love. You know, the way we have one word, the word is love, but it covers a whole lot of situations. You can say, I love my job, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my dog. Same word for different situations, different types of love. Here, the Lord uses a different word from Peter's response. But Christ brings them to the point of discipling. To be a follower of Christ means to love Him. To love Him. To be a follower of Christ does not mean to tick all the right boxes about belief. To follow Christ means to truly love the Lord. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him with all of your heart? So you want to serve Him and follow Him all your days. Peter had to face his failure. That's what you need to do if you are to have a second chance religion. The point of departing and the point of discipling. Maybe somebody in the building tonight and you're here because somebody invited you, or you're here because you've just wandered in because you're seeking and you're searching. Maybe you visit different types of churches, or maybe you're here because you're always here on a Sunday night. But I want you to take a moment to think seriously about the condition of your heart. Are you a Christian? Have you been born again? Are you truly saved? Do you love Christ? That's the ultimate test. Not do you love coming to church? Do you love singing old hymns? Do you love reading the Bible? But do you love Him? Do you love Him? I was brought to that point when I was 17 years of age. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I didn't really have a Christian background as such. I had been to Sunday school. I'd learned a few stories there. But that was a long time ago in my experience. And at 17 years of age, as a teenager, searching and trying to make sense of life, I was led to watch some people going into a church. I'd never been in the church before, but I watched them going in. In fact, I stood across the road at the shops, underneath the canopy where the shops were, watching them going into the church. And for 6 weeks, I stood watching them at 6:30 on a Sunday evening going in. I never went in, but I just watched them going in. You never know who's watching you going into church, do you? And I'd go away for a walk, and I'd come back an hour later, and I'd watch them coming out again. And I'd watch the young people coming out, and some of the fellas and some of the girls who were my age. And I was thinking to myself at 17, what is it in there that makes them want to go there? I've got to find out. Till eventually I made my way in. And I sat where all the young people sat. They sat down here in the church building. And they used to sit and they used to put their knee up on the pew in front of them with the hymn book wedged between their knee and the pew in front of them. I can remember that. I thought that's what you had to do, so that's what I did. And because that's what I did, and they all did it, they thought I was like them. They thought I was a Christian. But I wasn't. But I wasn't. And it's possible to come to church and sit the right way, maybe not with your knee up on the pew in front of you with the hymn book wedged in, but to sit in the right seats, to sing the right songs, to look like you're a Christian, but your heart to be far from Him. Christ said to Peter, do you truly love me? He had to face his failure. Maybe you have failed in the area of your relationships. Maybe you've failed morally. Face it. Be honest with yourself. Above all, be honest with God. And say, Lord, I want to be honest with You. You know where I am tonight. And Lord, You know that I'm far from You. And graciously, the Lord will give you another chance. Second thing you need to do if you want a second chance is to focus on your future. You see how very quickly here the Lord takes Peter, asks him these questions, and then says to him here in verse 18, where Peter says, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Then verse 18, Jesus says, feed my sheep. In fact, Jesus uses two words, two commands to Peter. One is here and one's down at the end of verse 19. In verse 18, he says, feed. In verse 19, he says, follow. He says, Peter, from this moment on, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs, and I want you to follow me. And the Lord brought Peter to focus on his future. Having faced up to his failure, to focus on his future. To feed and to follow. To feed and to follow. That was God's command. That was the Lord's command to Peter, this twofold command, to feed and to follow. That's what God wants for all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, who say that we want to serve Him and we want to follow Him. The Lord says, I want you to feed others. I want you to follow Me. Feed and follow. How do we feed others? Surely that's the job of the preacher, the pastor. No, in your day-to-day experience, you can feed others. You can teach them. You can nourish them. You can care for them. You can look after them. You can provide for them. You can be that sort of person that God wants them to be. I think Peter would have been good at that. Peter would have known what it was to fail. So therefore he would have been sympathetic to sheep or lambs who were wandering. He would have been compassionate to those who were far from perfect. Peter would have had that kind of heart because he knew what it was. He had been there. The Lord had given him a second chance. Listen, God never wastes an experience. Whatever your experience of life, don't allow it to make you bitter. Allow it to make you better. Allow it to teach you lessons so that you can, in turn, teach others, feed others. And then the Lord says, I don't just want you to feed, I want you to follow. It's fascinating to see that because the Lord's giving a ministry and then teaching them about discipleship. Feed, that's ministry. Follow, that's discipleship. Be a disciple of mine. Now, Peter used to follow Christ, but the problem was he followed him a long way off, as the scripture says. Now the Lord's saying, Peter, I want you to follow me right up close. And that's what God wants for your life, for you to follow him. You say, Trevor, okay, we've heard that before, but how do I, in the year 2005, follow the Lord? What does that mean for me in my job and in my family and in my home and in the university which I go to or the school that I'm a pupil of? What does that mean to follow the Lord? Well, two things really. First of all, you need to listen to His voice. Key part of discipleship is listening to His voice. How do we do that? We do it through His Word. We learn to read God's Word. We become students and readers of God's Word. The Lord Jesus Himself said in John chapter 10, My sheep hear My voice and follow Me. If you're a Christian, you should be a Bible reader. Do you read the Bible? Or do you tuck it away in your shelf or in your cupboard until next Sunday when you go and look for it, to bring it down, to bring it with you to Lisburn Baptist Church? Are you a Bible reader? The Lord says, I want you to be My disciple. I want you to feed and follow. I want you to focus on your future. You're going to follow. You have to listen to My voice. You've got to listen to My voice by reading My Word. Are you a Bible reader? I am increasingly amazed as a pastor at the number of Christians I meet who hardly, if ever, read the Bible. Yeah, they listen to CDs. They listen to sermons. They go to church. But they hardly, if ever, privately, on their own, when the door is closed, when the curtains are pulled, when no one is watching them, actually sit down, open the Bible, and ask the Lord to show them what He wants for their lives. And if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you need to listen to His voice by reading His Word. Then you need to walk in His steps. John talks about that in his letters. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to be in Christ must walk as Christ walked. We must learn to plant our steps in the feet of Jesus. That means integrity. That means righteousness. That means no gossiping. That means no slander. That means no backbiting. That means no bitterness. That means walking as Jesus walked. And so the Lord says to Peter here on the beach, okay, you got to face up to your failure. Do you truly love Me? The test is love. You fail that test, but there's a second chance for you now. You can start all over again. Now you've got to focus on your future, Peter. I want you to feed, and I want you to follow. Now, for somebody in the church tonight, and you've messed things up, the Lord says, once you face up to your failure, once you confess it, once you acknowledge it, once you recognize it, now I want you to feed and follow. I want you to be a help to others. You can teach them where you went wrong. You can not waste that experience, but I want you to feed others, and I want you to follow Me by listening to My voice and walking in My steps. Now the last thing here is where the Lord says to Peter, in verses 20 to 24, that you need to follow to the finish. That's the third principle in second chance religion. Face your failure. Face your failure. Focus on your future. Follow to the finish. You see, Christ explains to Peter what's going to be involved for him personally in following him. It says here in this rather cryptic way where the Lord Jesus says to him, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands. Somebody else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Now, there's several interpretations you can place in that. But you don't need to worry about that because the next verse interprets it for us. It says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And what the Lord was laying down for Peter here was reminding them that if he is going to be a follower, he had to follow come what may. And he had to follow him right the way through to the finish. And for Peter, the finish was going to be a martyr's death. Tradition has it that he was crucified upside down, and that's maybe what the Lord was referring to here. But he was saying to Peter, Peter, you've got to go all the way with me. Now, as Peter was thinking about that, and as that was beginning to sink into his head, he looked across and he saw the other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who's not named here, but his name is John. And Peter's trying to come to terms with what it means to have this second chance. And it means following to the finish. And he's thinking, why do I have to go through that experience of that death that Christ is referring to? Why doesn't he do that? And so Peter asks this question that we all ask, where he says, Lord, what about him? You ever ask that question? Lord, what about him? What about her? Sometimes when we're confronted with a difficulty in our lives, we look at others and they seem to have it so easy. And we say, Lord, what about him? If we've got a financial pressure and we see others who seem to be doing well financially, it's so easy to say, Lord, what about him? Lord, what about her? If we've a bereavement in our family and we lose a loved one and others have not lost that same relationship, it's so easy to say, Lord, what about him? What about her? Why do I have to go through this? If we've got a health problem and we are struggling with that, and we look at others who seem to be much healthier, so easy to say, Lord, what about him? What about her? Notice Jesus' reply here. It's so instructive. Where the Lord says to Peter, look, if I want him to remain alive until I return, notice these words. What is that to you? You must follow. Five words. Or as it puts it in the King James Version, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Fantastic teaching by the Lord here, where he's telling Peter basically to mind his own business. In fact, he's really saying two things to him. He's saying, Peter, you need to learn to run your own race. Run your own race. Each of us, you see, have obstacles to get over, hurdles to climb. And sometimes we feel that we've got all the hurdles and all the obstacles and nobody has any others like us. Like athletes getting down there on the starting blocks for the 400 meter race. And they're all in the blocks, they're ready to go. And one athlete looks up and suddenly he finds that in his lane there are 10 hurdles before the finish. And he can't understand that. He looks around and no other athlete has got a hurdle in his lane except him. So he puts his hand up, the starter gets them all back up on their feet again. And he says, there must be something wrong here. Nobody has got any hurdles. I've got all the hurdles. The starter says, hey, that's your race. Let's get on with it. That's what the Lord is saying to us. You've got hurdles, you've got obstacles, you've got issues that you need to get over. Don't worry about what other race others are running. You just get on with following them. You just get on with following them. Folks, you need to learn to run your own race. Nobody can live your life. You are unique. Nobody else has got your family situation, your work situation, your health, your finance situation. And the Lord says to you tonight, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Second thing the Lord said to him here is build your own relationship. What is that to thee, says the Lord? Follow thou me. You've got to learn to follow to the finish. How do you do that? You've got to learn to run your own race, but you've got to learn to build your own relationship. Don't depend on the pastor or the elders or your church or your favorite preacher or your favorite singer to build your relationship with God for you. You build your own relationship. You children who are here, and your young people who are here, you may be here because your parents are here. Don't hide behind your parents' faith. Find Christ for yourself. Take him to be your personal Savior yourself. Then learn to run your own race and build your own relationship. You learn to read God's word for yourself. You learn to pray. You learn to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Listen, folks, we all need fresh chances. And if you're not a Christian tonight, you need that new chance to start all over again. And the Lord says, face your failure. Come and confess it. Repent of it. Trust me to forgive you, and I will. But then focus on your future. God wants you to feed others and to follow him. You follow by listening to his voice and walking in his steps. Then the Lord says, but follow me to the finish. Whatever that means, whatever that means, whatever that costs for you, whatever it means for you. Don't worry if it means something for you than for other people. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Just follow to the finish. I trust that you'll do that. Let me read you a challenge by way of a poem that challenges us to follow right to the finish. Quit. Give up your beating. They shout and plead. There's too much against you now. This time you can't succeed. And as I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. And hope fills my weakened will as I recall that scene, for just the thought of that short race rejuvenates my being. It was a children's race, a boy's race. Young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. Wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up, so full of hope. Each thought to win the race, or tie for first, or if not that, at least be second place. Their dads watched from off the side, each cheering for his son. Each boy hoped to show his dad that he would be the one. The whistle blew and off they went. Hearts and hopes of fire to win, to be the hero, was each young boy's desire. One boy in particular, his dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as he speeded down the field, across a shallow dip, the little boy thought the wind, lost his step and slipped, trying hard to catch himself. His hands flew out the brace, and amid the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. So down he fell, and with him hope. He couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, he only wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up, showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, get up and win the race. He rose quickly, no damage done, but he was behind a bit, that's all. And he ran with all his mind and might to make up for his fall, so anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win. His mind went faster than his legs. He slipped and fell again. He wished that he'd quit before with one disgrace. I'm hopeless, he said. I shouldn't try to race. But in the laughing crowd, he searched and he found his father's face, that steady look that said, get up, win the race. So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. If I'm going to gain those yards, he thought, I've got to run real fast, exceeding everything he had. He regained 8 or 10, but trying hard to catch a lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat. He lay there silently. A tear fell from his eye. It's no sense running anymore. I'm out. Why try? The will to rise had disappeared. All hope had fled away. So far behind, so error prone. Too far away. I've lost. What's the use? He thought. I'll live with my disgrace. Then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. Get up. An echo sounded low. Get up and take your place. You were not meant for for failure here. Get up and win the race. With borrowed will, get up, it said. You haven't lost it all. For winning is not more than this, to rise each time you fall. So up he rose to run once more. And with a new commit, he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now. The most he'd ever been. Until he gave it all he had and ran as though to win. 3 times he'd fallen. 3 times he'd rose again. Too far behind to hope to win. He still ran to the end. They cheered the winner home as he crossed first place. Head high and proud and happy. No falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line last place, the crowd gave him the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last with head bowed low on pride, you would have thought he'd won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad he sadly said, "I didn't do so well." "To me, you won," his father said, "because you rose each time you fell." And now when things seem dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my own race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to finish is rise each time you fall. There's a Father who loves you. There's a Savior who died for you. You may have fallen, but the Lord gives you another chance tonight to be the kind of person that God wants you to be.